I think we'll go, I think we'll go ahead and get started. Now, this is about four times the number of people I thought would be here, so let me just double check. You guys know this is Hermogenes, right? Okay, all right, good. The thesis and the presentation that I'll do this afternoon, and I want to leave time, hopefully a goodly amount of time, for some discussion and some questions as well. But I'm going to structure the workshop based on Hermogenes' division of the issue of conjecture. Okay, so we'll do a little practical experience of what his issue theory looks like around the question of conjecture. And at the same time, I've in brackets at the bottom of the slides, I've identified the instructional design component that I'm using at this point as well. So just to show, and again, part of that is very practical to demonstrate that although Hermogenes is a second century rhetorician, okay, his theory and his ideas are fully contemporary. Okay, so I'm using a contemporary instructional design lesson to demonstrate that his ideas around rhetorical argumentation are very contemporary. Okay, so it's a very usable, very practical approach to teaching students argumentation. So my thesis is that Hermogenes' book on issues effectively and efficiently imparts the skills of argumentation around any given thesis. And from an argumentative point of view, I'm basically taking the position of the defense here. Because as I see this issue, Hermogenes was argued off the curriculum, basically. We don't use him anymore to teach students how to argue. He's been prosecuted off. And I'm maintaining that he should not be. That his approach to teaching argumentation may very well be the best approach that we have available to us today as classical Christian educators in a high school situation. So we'll start with again. Now you all have a handout, and it occurs to me I need to see that handout so I know the order it's in. Let's start with his division. What you've got here, by the way, the initial pages are a worksheet that we'll use with students, okay, as we're teaching one of the issues. And what we ask the student to create, in fact, in this situation, this is a worksheet for a conjecture issue. Then what follows is a number of pages that we've developed at this point as lesson plans. Okay, now the lesson plans are going to go back further than where I'm starting. We'll touch on it because Hermogenes actually begins with talking about the thesis sentence and what makes what gives us the best chance of being persuasive. What that thesis sentence needs to look like. What are the components and what are our options? And as we choose those options, we lose the ability or we lose effective persuasive power. Okay, and that's covered in his book. We'll just touch on it in the workshop. But this lesson plan begins there, so you can get an idea of what something looks like practically and also where we're going. At some point in the next year or two, I expect to publish a text that uses Hermogenes between the Progymnosmata and the formal rhetoric class, 10th grade or so, again, just to help get the discussion started and to get this resource back into our curriculums, because I think it's an important resource that provides tremendous benefit to our students. Okay, and then on the back page, there we go, on the very back page, okay, is Hermogenes's division of issues. Okay, so we're on conjecture. Unlike Quintilian and Cicero, Hermogenes uses not three divisions of issues, but 13. Okay, And in a one-hour workshop, we can't possibly go into the full scope of his issues. So again, what I'm doing is I'm taking one of them and showing you how it might look in your classroom or in a classroom, and then infer some of the benefits from a full-fledged program. To begin with why Hermogenes is important, or why we should even consider this text in this way of teaching communication, we have to start with classical discourse theory, and we have to understand what that means and how Hermogenes fits into it. Okay. So if we're looking at classical discourse theory, the first division that we make is around purpose. So any communication that we enter into, we're either trying to persuade judicially about what was or was not, epidectically about what is or is not, which is what I'm doing this afternoon in this workshop, okay, or deliberative, what should or should not be. In addition, classical discourse theory thinks about the components of a communication: ethos, the speaker, logos, the message, and pathos, the audience. As we understand where we're headed towards rhetoric, we understand more clearly what the purpose of an issue theory is. Okay? Because we're not concerned just about the logos, we're not concerned just about the message, but we're very concerned about the audience. And if we have this truth, and we have a truth that we believe is important enough for people to change or maintain a particular behavior, we need to persuade to that. Okay? So it isn't enough that I present a rational argument that engages you intellectually. Because every one of us knows that we can affirm an idea intellectually, and it makes not one iota of difference in our lives. Okay? But in classical discourse theory, we understand that we have to engage the imagination as well as the intellect. Okay? And so that pathos, that response by an audience, is key. And issue theory speaks to that. How is it that we talk about conjecture, whether something happened or not, in a way that will persuade an audience to what we believe is the truth about this question? Okay, and that's at the heart of what Hermogenes is presenting to us. What does the structure of that argument look like? Again, what he's providing for us is an ideal structure. So in any particular question, we'll use parts or all of that structure. But in order for me to make that decision as a communicator, I have to know the whole structure, so that I can make a decision about what's most effective on this question with this audience. And leading up to Hermogenes' issues is, of course, the progymnosmata, the before exercises, which were universally used to prepare students for both this course on issues and on rhetoric. The four exercises, plus Hermogenes' work on stasis theory or issues, or Cicero's or Quintilian's, along with the formal five canons of rhetoric, then prepared or allowed students to master this important final art of communication. As I alluded to, stasis theory provides a conceptual model of typical argumentation, okay, for the various modes of speech. So whatever our question is, our forebears studied, examined, and analyzed and realized that in effective presentations, there is a pattern of argumentation that we as logical listeners, as audiences, demand. So if a certain point gets raised, okay, there's an answer to that. And we as an audience are looking for that play, okay, that can allow us to come to a point where we can make a good decision about this question. Hermogenes is a second century Greek rhetorician, and he does transform the concept of stasis theory. So both Cicero and Quintilian work with basically a three divisions for issue theory, stasis theory. And Hermogenes expands that to 13. And from Hermogenes forward, his 13 issues are the ones that are taught and adapted and argued about going forward. So after Hermogenes, nobody teaches just a three division of issue stasis theory. Okay. So what Hermogenes does is revolutionary. Okay. Much in the way that Aristotle was revolutionary in his rhetoric text. And Athonius is revolutionary in the way he put his progymnasmata together. Okay. He's a key rhetorician. The Hermogenetic corpus is a series of five documents that when Malcolm Heath, who translated Hermogenes in his introduction in 1995, he complains that there isn't much study on Hermogenes. In the last 15 years, that has totally turned around. And there's a lot of books being written on Hermogenes, a lot of translations, because his key role in rhetoric as a Byzantium rhetorician is becoming clearer and clearer to us. And there's a lot of work actually being done around him. In order to teach Hermogenes in the classroom, there does need to be a foundation. That foundation is provided for in a progymnasmata approach to teaching writing. So that's an assumption that we're going to carry into this argument, if you will, or the question of whether Hermogenes can effectively teach these skills. There are some underlying skills that students have to have as they come into this. Students have to know already how to create arguments. They have to have a concept of what a common topic or the arrangement of a forensic speech looks like. And they have to have an understanding of what the arrangement of an epidectic or an encomium speech looks like, because those will be used and assumed by Hermogenes in both his questions of definition and questions of quality. Okay, students have to have a rough idea of how to write in different styles. Okay, it doesn't have to be refined, but students need to understand that they control style. They have to be able to write coherent paragraphs and a cohesive essay. Those are essential. My attention turned to Hermogenes because of the practical experience I had trying to teach 11th and 12th graders how to write academic research papers. And what I found year after year, as hard as I tried, and as many different things as I tried, and as rigorous or as hands-off as I tried to be, I continued to find a significant number of students who created weak or invalid thesis statements on their papers. Good students, good classical Christian students at the end of their career, when they were having to write a 25-page research paper, oftentimes ended up with a paper that had only one side. In addition to that, we don't naturally discover the compelling arguments against a position we take. That's hard enough for us to do as adults. For teenagers, without some kind of a set of discrete skills to impart to them, apart from the very gifted students, I found that impossible. To teach students to look with integrity for compelling arguments against something that they believe in and are writing about. Hermogenes helps me with that tremendously. Understanding with integrity the full scope of an issue, okay, in other words, when Hermogenes is used as a rhetorical framework for an academic research paper, it actually allows for the possibility of self-reformation in my students. I've been using Hermogenes for the last 3 years. And in those last 3 years versus the 7 years that I was, 8 years that I was teaching without Hermogenes, okay, the number of students who changed the thesis in the middle of their research because of their research has tripled. I just find that thrilling. Okay, because they are learning how to look with integrity on both sides of an issue. And the reality is we're not always right. Finally, I think writing a thorough and complete thesis, that ability to do that across the board, and not just with our more gifted students, but with every single student who graduates from our class, that puts our papers head and shoulders above our peers. And I know that because occasionally I rub shoulders with writing professors at the college and university level, and they struggle with this. Even their majors struggle with this. So if we can come up with a pedagogy that will graduate our students with this ability to write with integrity, multiple sides, both sides of an issue, we're achieving a significant thing. Like what George Grant talked to us about just a while ago, changing our culture. This is a culture changer. Now, there are difficulties to Hermogenes. I wish there weren't, but there are. I find it requires a living faith in classical discourse theory. It's been hard these 3 years to jump into Hermogenes, and we'll talk more about this in a minute. Okay. But this is so far outside of my experience, okay, out of my education, that there are literally no touch points. And when I initially picked up Hermogenes and read him one summer, when I got done, I literally had no idea what I had just read. I did not understand what he was talking about. It's a complex and large set of sub-skills. Like I said, there are 13 issues. Within each of those 13 issues, there are 8 to 15 sequential primary and secondary arguments. Okay. Now, it's not quite as bad as it sounds, because many of the issues use a different pattern of the same sets of arguments. Okay. Nonetheless, it's still a complex and difficult task to master. And we have to acknowledge that going into it. Thirdly, the examples that Hermogenes gives are from a Greco-Roman courtroom. And I'm teaching my students how to write contemporary research papers about issues today. And that can be daunting. There is not a direct tie. And so we as teachers have to make that tie. We have to integrate the ideas in examples that we find. However, getting to the positive side, one of the first things that we find is that students across the board are creating valid thesis statements. They're learning that if they're going to find an issue that has two compelling sides to it, they'll need to find specific subjects and actions that relate directly to that subject. In the last 3 years, we've done 21 papers, and they've ranged from the proper interpretation of the fourth beast in Daniel 7 to the effectiveness of geotourism in Guatemala in preserving the green sea turtle. So Hermogenes can be incorporated into contemporary thinking. what Hermogenes gives the students, that again is a great benefit, is that when they go to do the research, they know to look for specific arguments. Okay. Rather than turning them loose in a research library around a topic, and again, after doing that for 10 years, I have not found great success in the quality of the research that my juniors and seniors do with that approach. The quality of the research that I've gotten in the last 3 years is significantly better, because they know if they're going to be arguing a conjecture or a definition or a quality thesis, there are certain types of arguments that they know are out there, and they're going and looking for those arguments. And of course, as they search for those, they find lots of other good arguments as well to integrate and to work with. But they have direction. Okay? They have boundaries for their research. So they can actually become more creative and do a better job than if they have no boundaries and just have this wide topic that they're beginning to work through a card catalog with or a bibliography. Okay? This is a huge benefit in teaching students how to think and how to research an issue. Let's move into the text itself, so to speak, and as we begin solving the problem of how do I take this second century Greek rhetorician and actually use him in a contemporary classroom. Heath gives to us in this wonderful work is the translation of the text. So we have a particular passage that we're beginning with, such as conjecture. And we read what Hermogenes says about conjecture. We read it through until we understand it. Then we can turn to Heath's commentary. And Heath has he's a brilliant scholar and offers excellent practical insights into the text of Hermogenes. Once again, clarifying and making more discreet and clear to us what are the specific skills that Hermogenes is asking us to master? The text also contains illustrations. So after reading the text and the commentary, we can look at a practical speech that demonstrates the discrete skills that we've just been studying. With that knowledge in hand, with that understanding of the discrete skills, those discrete topics of argumentation, we now can turn our attention to contemporary examples of issues, of a conjecture issue. And we can begin to think through together what those arguments might look like. We'll use examples from our current reading at school. So at Whitfield, we do a great books program. We can pull into our rhetoric class, into this class on issues, a paragraph, a passage, a chapter from a book we're reading in order to identify the issue and then the argumentation that the authors are using. And lo and behold, all good authors use this type of argumentation. We see it. In order for students to learn these skills, not only do we have to be able to articulate them as explicit skills, but we have to provide multiple contexts in which they can use those discrete skills that require them to think deeply about it. So this isn't a matter of simply memorizing the issues in their divisions, but students actually have to use those issues in multiple situations. We do it in class. We assign it with homework. We'll do quizzes over this material until mastery is achieved, until all the students are scoring 100%. And that automaticity with the skills is essential for fluency. In other words, if these skills are going to be real, they have to be internalized in the student. The student's got to be able to think through issues not by turning to the text, but by knowing them internally. And then we bring that home again with projects, both a junior and a senior paper. Junior paper is a 12 to 15 page, and a senior paper is 20 to 25 pages. Once again, a large project in which the students are incorporating and using these skills in a different context. Within the classroom, as I said, part of the difficulty is translating this ancient Greco-Roman courtroom argumentation into a contemporary issue. And so one of the skills or one of the techniques that we use a lot of is simply class brainstorming. So we have everybody engaged around an issue. In order to prime that pump, sometimes we'll need to break into groups of two or three and have them work together as a group and then come back together and we have better discussions. As I mentioned, we can use issues derived from our reading. But these issues that we face are all around us. Current issues, movies, TV shows, all of these provide us with arguments that the students are interested in. And that's important, that the students see a question as something that relates to them, something that matters to them, something where the answer will make a difference in how they think. We assign homework that requires the use of the skill explicitly. Hermogenes allows us to do that because we're able to define and clarify what the skill is. So in a persuasive defense, for instance, which is part of the secondary argumentation of a conjecture thesis, we know that it's a narrative that's arguing for the legitimacy of the argument. And with that kind of a clarification, we can ask the students to go home and around a question that they saw raised in Gulliver's Travels to create the persuasive defense for whether Gulliver should have disobeyed the king and sunk the enemy's navy or not. Okay, so it's very explicit what we're asking them to do in that 20 to 30 minutes at night. We allow students to work alone, in pairs, or in groups. Okay, but everybody's always got to create their own piece. So two people work in a group, but there's got to be two persuasive defenses that come out of that group. That first activity in each day as we begin our class is reviewing the homework. Questions, presentations, peer assessments are all part of making sure that the students are engaging at a deep cognitive level around these questions and the skills of the questions. What we find as students master this ability to think through rhetorical argumentation is that they use these skills in other classes. They're able to analyze better in their reading classes. So although it's not a specific analysis skill for reading, okay, there's a relationship there or a correlation that makes them better thinkers when it comes to analysis. So we use it in great books, we use it in history, we use it in Bible. We can use nightly questions from the readings, once again, to reinforce the rhetorical education. Their weekly essays that they do can also take the form of a condensed issue. Horizontal integration is difficult, but an ideal to strive for. And again, that year-long writing project is a real and impactful way that the students can understand the moral implications of learning this skill. And again, what I mean by that is that ability to self-reform, to look with integrity at our beliefs, and to understand that there are areas that we may very well be wrong at. We may have errors, of which, of course, we're unaware. But this kind of rhetorical training, this kind of cognitive development allows us to look at ourselves and our ideas with greater critical skills. And my students are excited about that. They understand that. They want to be good thinkers, and they want to build character. Continuously finding ways to integrate mastered skills into today's lesson plan, once again, is one of those skills that as teachers, we become more familiar with this particular way of conceiving of language and conceiving of argumentation becomes easier with each passing year. So I'm far more adept in my ability to do this, even in my great books classes, now than I was 3 years ago when I started, again, because of mastery over the material. We can turn our students' attention to hot topics, chapel speakers, Sunday sermon, the movie of the week that they've seen, popular literature, and favorite TV shows to demonstrate to them how universal the way that we argue and communicate with one another is. Hermogenes on issues in our experience does effectively and efficiently impart the skills of argumentation around any given thesis, but it's a daunting task. Let me stop at this point and see what sort of questions or comments we all have. Please. For the seniors, yes. 12 to 15 for the juniors. So let me ask you, in the credo that you're having them write over the course of the year in the apologetics class. Yes, sure. Now, are you having them do research? Are they headed to the library, or are there resources that they already have or have mastered? Okay. Sure. And how? What's the longest paper the students have written at your school at this point? Yeah. I'm sorry? Yeah. So I would be hesitant to triple that in a final project. You know, doing a 15-page credo, there's a lot of virtue in being able to write concisely and clearly. But again, with a credo, you would probably, the thesis is going to be probably one of definition. What is it? Okay. And so Hermogenes is going to give you a structure there that can, again, not replace what you have in mind for what you want to see, but can give ideas to if this credo is going to be persuasive, you know, what objections am I going to have to answer as I move through this paper? So, yeah, I think Hermogenes could be helpful to you in a 15-page credo. With God's grace. Yeah, a couple of years probably. Pardon me? Thank you. Yeah. What do I recommend for the best progymnasmata curriculum? Well, I have a definite conflict of interest here because I've written a curriculum, a progymnasmata. But really what I would say is any progymnasmata curriculum, okay, gets them to the point where they can successfully accomplish this. Yeah. Yeah, any progym, and that would include classical writing is a progym curriculum. There's two college textbooks. I've mentioned to several people already, Sharon Crowley wrote one, and Frank D'Angelo wrote another, and they're a semester or year-long college rhetoric course based on the progym. Okay. Those are resources. Frank D'Angelo. And again, there's a lot of resources, I apologize ahead of time, on my website in the bibliography. You can go to my website. You don't have to buy anything, but you can use the bibliography for free. Yeah. Classical composition. Mm-hmm. Yes, the question is, what do we do with a new high school with students who are just entering into a classical Christian education? And my answer to that is the progymnasmata education. Progymnasmata, class on issues, and then formal rhetoric, that is the classical pedagogy, okay, to teach grammar, logic, and rhetoric. And if we try to shortchange that, it's not that we won't be successful, but it becomes more difficult. I don't doubt for a moment that there are gifted teachers in here that could take Hermogenes and teach him next year. Okay, but I think using the classical pedagogy, that model, improves our chances of complete success significantly. That's been my experience. So the ProGym is the place that I would recommend starting a writing education. Yes. Now, part of this, the question is, how do we teach ourselves how to teach, and probably not just Hermogenes, but any classical pedagogy, right? Because we weren't trained ourselves, right? And I think this goes back to something I said earlier, and it's having faith in classical discourse theory. Okay. So believe me, when in that first year in which I taught this to my class. We worked through it together as a community, students and teacher. Okay, and we read the text. Okay, we would venture forth opinions about what Hermogenes means, and then they would be corrected. So my students would oftentimes correct me as I ventured an interpretation about what Hermogenes said, and then we would discuss that, and we would go back and forth, we would look at the commentary, we would look at the examples, and in some ways, we were having a tremendous class on how to learn, right? We may not have been picking up issues as effectively and efficiently as we should have, but me sitting with my class in the presence of Hermogenes and struggling with him, That was a great experience for us. And how is it that we learn things going forward, right? I was not spoon-feeding this to them. We were discovering together. And I think that's valuable. It needs, as a teacher, I need a little thick skin, okay? Because I'm sure, as you would recognize, it is uncomfortable when I make a mistake in front of a group of adolescents, okay? I don't like that. I don't like it when I misinterpret text, in my class. Okay. But for me to be able to model the humility, okay, and the willingness to correct and error, I think is invaluable for my students. And even them seeing me squirm is a good model. Okay, let them know this is not an easy thing. So the best answer to your question is you jump into it. Okay, why do you do that? Because Hermogenes has the stamp of Western approval. 1,500 years, Hermogenes is the text that we in the West use to teach issues. Okay, how wrong am I going to go? Okay, if this is what I use to teach my students, that thousands of generations of students have been taught successfully with. So it's a little scary, but the success lies here. Not in here, or my knowledge, or even my teaching ability, but it lies with the mind of a master educator. I was afraid nobody would bring that up. Yeah, actually, that's not so bad. It was 189 2 years ago. Okay. We actually got a copy of 10 of these for $130 each. Is that right, Mr. Bryan? I had to go out and raise the money for it. I had to get a donation. Okay, it's absurdly expensive. I wonder, are they printing these one at a time to charge that much money? Exactly. Yeah. Okay. But I hope you hear this. It's worth it. Okay. If I can train one child to with integrity seek the truth around an important question, you know, it's worth $2,000 for a classroom set. That's my opinion. So it's obscenely expensive. And hopefully the more of us that buy it, the more the price will drop. Okay. But in my opinion, it's worth every penny. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Well, why don't we close here then, and I'll hang around if anyone has any other questions or comments for me. Thank you very much. Yes, it was. Let me come down.